This morning I'm reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17, if you want to open up your Bibles. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Amen.
Juliet, it is so good to have you.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Dad. It's been a lovely journey with you and to watch you grow. Juliet graduated last semester, at the end of last semester, with a Master of Christian Education and Christian Leadership. Top of her class. Twice International Student of the Year. So you're a pretty smart lady.
Thank you, Dad.
And in March she will graduate at the college. I'm excited about Christian education in Africa. I love Christian education here. But something wonderful is happening in Africa. All of the people we have contact with talk about a spiritual awakening. From Amos was in Kenya. He wrote back and said, God is at work in Kenya. Pastors' conference grew from 40 to 60 as they taught the principles that we've been engaged with and all that material that we've sent. And so it's a wonderful thing. But when we talk about Christian education, it means that you just have Christian schools, doesn't it? So you have Christians going to Christian schools, so Christian education.
Thank you so much, Dad. What a privilege to be here. And education is my passion. And I really, all I wanted when I was studying was to be a teacher. And in Uganda, we have very many schools, and it's 80% Christian. And we have people start all these schools. Yes, they are Christians, and they start schools, but they don't know what it means to run a Christian school. And teachers don't know what it means to teach in a Christian school. Who is a Christian teacher? What is a Christian school? How do you handle students in a Christian school? They have no idea. So our work in my organization called New Hope International is to go out to those schools, started by Christians or Christian organizations. Then we do professional development courses with the teachers to teach them, to help them understand what Christian education is all about. How can they take the secular curriculum and teach it from a biblical perspective.
Mm.
So when they do that, then they understand what it means to be Christian teachers. Mm. And we do that by training trainers of trainers who can train others to carry this on, so that the whole of Uganda may understand Christian education. Mm. Because that is our hope when we train our children in the ways of the Lord, and through that they have a Christian curriculum, then we'll have a revival in Africa.
Sure. I remember talking about this with Juliet and saying, but you're one person, you need to be teaching other teachers how to do what you're doing.
Sure.
And I was excited when you said to me, I've got 10, I think, people that I'm training who will actually go and do the training that I do.
Yeah.
And you can imagine the ripple effect of that.
That's right.
In Africa.
That's right.
You know, I think God can work through Christian schools in a way that's kind of unique.
Absolutely.
Because you educate children who grow up to be adults.
That's right.
And if they grasp the concepts, that's exciting, isn't it? Does that kind of make you think, wow? It should make you feel wow. But you should see the possibilities of that.
That's right.
So how many, no, that's too much a bigger question. How many countries do you actually connect with? I remember you going to speak at an African conference of Christian teachers.
With New Hope International, we connect with 22 countries globally.
Wow.
Yeah, and in East Africa, of course, Kenya, we go, we board the bus and go to Kenya and train teachers. But then we train Kenyans to train Kenyans.
Yeah.
And in Tanzania and in Rwanda, so all those countries.
Yeah.
And then we are all looking at the whole of Africa. So we know that God will raise up a formidable force. He'll raise up an army of teachers who will go out in all those countries and encourage everyone.
That's our heart. Juliet's going to share with us from John 15, but let me pray for her. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Tom and Juliet, for the connections, the raising them up and the equipping of them to plant churches, but also especially what Juliet's doing to equip teachers to teach Christianly so that they're teaching with a Christian worldview, affirming the gospel in the process of the teaching of students. Thank you for them. Thank you, Father, for all the enormous potential in Africa and all of these nations that are being impacted. We pray that you'll encourage her as she ministers the word to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, darling. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Dad. His dad. His dad, by all means. And what a blessing to stand before this congregation on a day like this on Father's Day. Well, Father's Day is something that is really new in our culture. We're just beginning to kind of celebrate it a little bit. Am I loud enough? Yeah, I hope. Yeah, so, but here I find it interesting. We were visiting schools last week and they were all eager about Father's Day, and so we are learning a lot about that. I thank God. I was born in a family of eight, one father, one mother. So ours was a Christian family, and we saw the love that happens between husband and wife. We were very loved as children. Our father was a very strict disciplinarian. He disciplined us greatly, actually using the stick, but he loved us so much. And he really did everything to see that we go through school. He denied himself all the pleasures to ensure that we go to school. And as I went to school, I wanted to be a teacher. Today, he's 85 years old. I lost my mother. My mother died when she was 50. She died when I just graduated. So my whole mindset was shaped by my dad. And I look at my dad as my role model because he was very hardworking. He was very enthusiastic. He loved the Lord. And he really disciplined us. But I want to thank God so much because his love is everlasting. When I finished my university in 1998 and graduated as a teacher, I started teaching. But my heart was really to advance, to do a master's, to go higher, because that's what I wanted to do. I know I did several other courses, but they were not academic courses. And when I came to Australia in 2016, that was my, I was here 2016 then now, so it's been some time since I was in Australia. But I was with Helen Blanche and we visited Moline College. I told her, I want to pursue a master's degree. And so we went and met Dr. Pam Harvey, the Dean of Education then. We sat with her, I told her my desire, and she gave us this brochure and the cost implication of the master's course in leadership. And of course, we couldn't afford it. My organization is New Hope International. You could Google that and newhopeinternational.net, find out what to do, even how possibly to support. But they couldn't support my master's course. So I kept praying and believing God. In 2020, that's when I was asked to buy the computer. And that's what God used. I normally say it's like the story of Saul looking for his father's donkeys, and then he meets Samuel, and then he's anointed king. So it's that kind of story. So through the computer, I got the opportunity to meet our dad, Reverend Kel Willis, and then he gave me this scholarship. And then I started pursuing my master's. So what a blessing that was. So, and through the relationship, he kept mentoring us. He keeps his time. He tells you, I'm going to we have an hour from, it will be 6 a.m. Australian time, and that's about 11 p.m. So it's quite late in the night. But he's always there, and we are there, and we've had a good relationship. He's loved us as his children. He is a dad 360 degrees. He cares, he loves us, he has loved us. So I always say I have two dads. My biological father is 85, and God has given me another very good dad. So how grateful am I on Father's Day? But on such a Father's Day, I wish you, Dad, a very good Father's Day, and all of you fathers. May God really bless you and encourage you in your fatherhood role. Today we are going to look at abiding in Christ. I felt God speaking so much in my heart about abiding in Christ. And thank God for Brother Tony, who has read in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 17. I'll majorly focus on verse 1 to 11. Abiding in Christ. The reading was beautiful. And our church is called True Vine Evangelical Community Church. So we really focus on this piece of scripture and dwell on it and pray that all of us bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will last. When I looked at Christianity, I got this statement somewhere. Someone wrote that Christianity is not a skill to master, but a relationship to build. We don't get the skills that I'm a Christian, I have these skills and that. No, it's not a skill to master. But we build the relationship through abiding in Christ. And as we read the Bible, as we read the Gospels, we see several metaphors talking about how we relate to God, our relationship with our God. Some of the ones I picked out are the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep and the shepherd. We are the sheep. Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Then the child and the father. Today we are celebrating Father's Day. Children and a father. Us and our heavenly father. That's a relationship. And then slave and master. That's another relationship. Then the body and the head. We are the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. Then here in this particular metaphor, it focuses on branches and the vine. How do branches relate with the vine? In this piece of scripture, we discover the relationship between the vine dresser, and the branches, which are glued together. They are glued together in this relationship. And when I looked closer at the word abiding, what does abiding mean? I like the version that Tony read from. Mine says abiding in Christ. His version picks out remaining in Christ. And that comes from the Greek word meno, which is remain, remain, remain. So remaining means staying, waiting, you know, persevering there, being consistent there, abiding in Christ. And when we look at the piece of scripture from John 15, 1 to 11, the word abide or remain appears 10 times. That means it's really emphasized, remain in me. If you remain in me, if you abide in me, he's calling us to abide, to remain, to stay put, to remain there. And when we look at verse 5 and 6, I really like this because it talks about the branches. because we are talking about the vine and the branches, and we are the branches. And in this, in chapter, in verse 5 and 6, we look at two types of branches. The branches that abide in Christ are fruitful. They bear fruit. And then, but we see another type of branch, the fruitless branch. And that's a branch that doesn't abide in Christ. And if it doesn't abide on the vine, then it's cut off, because it no longer sucks from the vine. So it dries out. And when it dries, it can only be cut. So those are two types of branches. And as we look more, focus more on the unfruitful branch, I looked at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 to 7. There's an interesting story about the vine dresser, and then this vine that bore it bore grapes that were not good, bad fruit. So if you don't abide in Christ, that means, or if the branch doesn't abide in the vine, then it will bear fruit. It may bear fruit, but bad fruit, fruit that is not worth eating. So here it says in Isaiah 5, verse 1 to 7, so I picked out, what more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Of course, the vine dresser had done everything possible to make sure that this vine bears good fruit. But then he says, why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? So, and now please let me tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. So it goes on and on. So this shows the consequence. What happens to the branch that doesn't bear fruit? The branch that is fruitless. The branch that dries. Because it has failed to remain on the vine. It has failed to suck nutrients from the vine. And then it dries. Or it bears a fruit that is not good. So this alerts us as Christians that we have to really to stick in the vine, to remain in the vine, to stay in the vine, to persevere in the vine, so that we suck out the good nutrients, they go into the branches, and so we can bear good fruit, and so we are not fruitless branches which will be cut off. So in Christian life, a fruitless branch can be compared to superficial attachment to Christ. Sometimes as Christians, we are superficially attached to Christ. There is a verse in John chapter 2, verse 23. Jesus had his disciples and he told them many things. But then somewhere, somehow he discerned. He was very discerning because he was God. And he knew that their interest was different. They were superficially attached to him. The branches were superficially attached to the vine. So it says in verse 22, John chapter 2, verse 23, it says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. They believed in his name because they saw the signs which he did. They were more interested in the signs. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Jesus knew that their interest was superficial. They really didn't want him or his word, but they were after the signs that he was performing. In my country, I think you need to pray for us. I don't know if it is here in Australia, but there's a big wave of the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel has come in big time, and many churches out there, when you hear that someone being preached on Sunday, when you go to their prayer meetings, it's all about miracles. It's all about what you can get out of Jesus. It's all about, you know, Jesus blessing you. You're getting this, you're going to get this, you're going to be this. You know, preachers stand out and proclaim and excite the congregation. And the gospel is really a prosperity-based gospel. So that people come to the Lord hoping to get something. Because there's a lot of poverty and so many challenges, many come to church when they are sick. And all they expect is getting a miracle. Will I get a miracle? The women are really, really vulnerable because many pastors are taking advantage of them. And the issue is they do not read the word. That pastors do not teach the word. That people are not abiding or remaining. They are not bearing fruit because they are superficially attached to Jesus because of what they want to get. So many women are selling their property, giving their money to pastors. The pastors are very rich. They've amassed a lot of wealth. They drive big cars. They sleep in mansions at the expense of the poor congregation because they are preaching a wrong gospel. And because they feed the congregation poorly, then there is no growth. Then there is no perseverance. Then these people look out for what they can get and they move from church to church. They don't abide in Christ. And when challenges come, of course, they fall big time. They are prone to sin. They are prone to temptations. Someone made a statement that Christianity in Africa is widely spread. There are many Christians, but it's really shallow. It's not deep. Why? Because many people don't abide in the vine because they're after getting this and that. So that is really, really a challenge that we face. And many people come to church and say, they say, that church, there is no power. In the Baptist church, there is no power because there are no miracles. So because of that, they don't really abide in the vine. They don't understand the word. They are not built up and strengthened in the word. And when every wind of doctrine comes, then they are swept away. So that's really quite sad. But then the people who came to Jesus, he knew them. He knew that they were interested in signs. He knew that they wanted something from him. And he didn't commit himself to them because he knew all men. He tested their hearts. They were not abiding in him. They were stuck on him superficially. They had different interests. In John chapter 6, verse 53 to 68, there's a long piece of scripture. And then Jesus was teaching about him being the flesh. I mean, them drinking his flesh and blood. He was explaining something quite difficult. And then the people, because they were saying, branch, but she's going somewhere. She's leaving the vine. So when they went to this shrine deep inside the forest, somewhere, because the witch doctors like hiding there. And when they reached, there was this old man. He was about, I think, 80-something. But he had never bathed. He doesn't brush his teeth. He doesn't comb his hair. He's just like the devil incarnate. So he's just a horrible man. But he was the one who was going to give her the baby, the husband, and everything she wanted. So she believed. So when they reached there, the witch doctor gave her an option. And told her, two things you have to give me if you want to get what you want. First of all, one thing, you have to give me the blood of someone you love most. That happens a lot in my country. People sacrifice their children. So the blood of the person you love most, or you're going to have sexual relations with me. So this woman struggled, but the friends told her, but that's what we also did, and we are well off, you can do it. So she chose one thing, because giving blood meant she was going to sacrifice her mom, which she feared, and she didn't do that. So she agreed and had sexual relations with this awful man. She went back, but from that day onwards, she kept getting visitations. This man would open that door, but she kept it locked. So I don't know, I can't explain how that happens, but she used to get spiritual sexual relations with this wizard. Now, sooner or later, she discovered she had conceived, and that was terrible. She got desperate. She used to get the visitations. She was haunted until she went to the pastor and said, Pastor, I think I left the vine. I did an awful thing, but look here, I conceived. What can I do? So the pastor was gracious. They prayed for her. She got delivered. Of course, the visitations no longer came, but she had to live with the consequence. She gave birth to a baby that looked like the father exactly. But then she couldn't go to this witch doctor to tell him that, you know, this is your baby. So I don't know what happens on Father's Day, how they celebrate it, because the baby is the son of a witch doctor. Anyhow, now she has to live her life with the consequence of leaving the vine, of not abiding. Having the child of a witch doctor, I mean, it's terrible. But then this child calls her mom. So that is really happening. Many people leave the vine to go because they want visas, they manipulate things, they change names. So much is happening in my part of the world. I don't know your challenges here so much. But can we stay in the vine? Because when we cling on to the vine because of our convenience, and then we leave Jesus, and then we go out and do our own things, and so we'll be like the branch which doesn't bear fruit, and that branch will definitely be cut off. So in John chapter 2, verse 19 says, I think it was Jesus who was saying, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But I went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were for us. So there are some in the flock who are not of us. And sometimes they go out and don't abide in the vine. But then we are called to abide. We are called to stay in the vine so that we can bear fruit. Then John chapter 8:31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If we abide in Christ, then we prove ourselves to be his disciples." Then I thought of the question, why abide in Christ? Why abide in Christ? From the piece of scripture we read from John chapter 15, verse 1 to 11, we see some consequences, some good things that come out of when we abide in Christ. Of course, when we abide in Christ, one, we are assured of our salvation. We are safe in him. We know that whatever happens to us, we are safe. Our hope is in him. Our everlasting hope is in him. And we hope that in glory, we will meet with him. As I was thinking about this, I remembered, because even as we lose our loved ones, still, if we abide in Christ and we know that they were in Christ, then we know that we'll see them again. And last night, I was reading something on Facebook. Then I remembered what my friend Wendy wrote. I was thinking about this. She lost her mom last year. But I picked this just because I thought it came to me that when our loved ones die, when we know that they were in Christ, then we have hope. We are safe and we know that we'll meet them. So Wendy wrote, she said, "Goodbye, our precious mom. We love you. You are in our hearts forever, and we'll see you again on the shores of your home in heaven." What a hope. So that I really liked what she wrote. And because I was saying, what a hope. When we know that our loved ones were in Jesus, they walked the journey, they were fruitful branches. What a hope. We know that we'll meet them. So that is the essence of life, the hope that we have when we abide in Christ. We are sure of our salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." When we abide in Christ, then we have salvation and we have a hope of meeting with him. And the second one, when we abide in Christ, we are fruitful. Absolutely. We bear fruits. John 15:8 says, "We bear much fruit, and when we are pruned through trials, we are proven to be his disciples." When we abide in him, when we remain in him, when we stay put there, when we persevere, when we focus on him, when we don't desert him, then we know that we'll be fruitful. Just like the branch that sucks all its nutrients from the vine. He becomes our source. He becomes our strengthener. He provides all our needs because we abide in him. And how do we bear fruit? Many ways. But one of the ways, I like how my dad normally puts it. He says, we are fruitful when we live the gospel. When we live the gospel, we bear fruit. When we share the gospel, we bear fruit. When we love God's people, we bear fruit. So we'll bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will last. Where we stay at Helen and Kevin Blanche's home, there is this lemon tree. Wow, you need to see that lemon tree. It's so fruitful. Everything, I think it has more fruit than leaves. So every morning, Tom likes to squeeze a jar of pure lemon juice. And we partake of this juice, and it's really, really healthy for us. But it has so much fruit, and the fruit always stays. So I wish you could take that tree back to Uganda. But it's a tree that encourages me to be fruitful. When we abide in the vine, we'll suck, because without him, we can't do nothing. His life will be in our lives, and then we'll bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will benefit everyone. Some of the fruit that we bear has benefited us in Uganda. We have been blessed, and we keep being blessed. So keep bearing fruit. Stick in the vine, remain in the vine. And thirdly, there's a verse that I'll read there, Romans 7:4. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, you have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God." We should bear fruit to God. Fruit through loving others, through sharing the gospel, through living the gospel. Then we bear much fruit. And thirdly, whatever we ask according to his purposes is granted to us when we abide in the vine. I know we have many things we want, but everything will be given to us according to his will if we abide in him. We'll not get prosperity when we go out to false preachers to lay hands on us. Some women, they anoint them in the wrong places because they want to prosper. It's crazy where we come from. But if we abide in him, even when we go through trials, even when we lack whatever, because we know that he has a good plan for us. He has plans to prosper us, not to, you know. He has plans, good plans, to give us hope, to give us a future. So when we abide in him, our joy is full. We bear fruit. We are assured of our salvation. Then we can ask for whatever we want according to his purposes, and it will be granted. And so, brothers and sisters, we are called to persevere in the Christian faith. Things won't be easy. We haven't been called for easy things and easy life, you know. But we are called to look at him, to focus on him, to imitate him. We are called to abide. We are called to remain. We are called to stay. We are called to wait upon him. We are called to hold on to our faith. I like what Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 4, as I conclude. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." Let us hold on. Let us hold right there. Let us stick in him. He has all the answers. He hasn't deserted us. We are never alone. Because when we hold on to him, then he has the best plans for us. He knows why he created us, and his purposes will be accomplished in our lives. Brothers and sisters, let's hold on. Let's keep holding on. Let's abide in the vine. For then we'll bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that will last. God bless you. Let me pray. King of glory, we are grateful because of your word. You have given us your word. How beautiful that is. Your word is living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Your love performs that which it has to perform in our lives. And I know that your word this morning hasn't come in vain. It is a call upon us to look at you, to focus our eyes on you, because the Bible says you're the author and perfecter of our faith. Without you, we can't do anything. So, Father, we come before you today with all our needs, with all our challenges, with all our desires. We surrender to you and say, have your way. We choose to abide in you today. We choose to remain in you. We choose to believe in you. We choose to hold on. We choose to wait upon you. For they who wait upon you, their faith shall be renewed. For you make all things beautiful in your time. You perfect your desires in us. So I pray that you encourage someone here. You encourage all of us to remain in you, not to leave, not to be fruitless branches. And so you'll keep watering us, and then we'll keep bearing fruit. We'll keep loving others. We'll keep sharing the gospel. We'll keep living the gospel. And then your name will be lifted high like a banner that flies across the sky, so that many will be drawn to you. I thank you so much for this congregation, and pray a blessing upon this congregation of Bowood Community Baptist Church, now and forever. Pray in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God bless you so much.